you're part of a duo called Songwear. You're going to be at the Old School Thursday night. Have I got that right?
That's right. Yep.
Okay. And what sort of music are you going to be playing?
We're calling it dark folk, deep country. Actually, we came up with a new genre the other day, which was prog folk.
Prog folk.
we like to kind of push the envelope of folk a little bit. And, we come from sort of diverse musical backgrounds. Essentially, it's acoustic kind of music, but, we cover quite a range of different styles.
Okay, and is it music that you've written yourself, or are there some standards that you play?
This stuff is mostly covers. There's one or two original things in there. But in saying that, our versions of things are often quite a little bit different from sort of what you might expect.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's a song that people might know if they're fans of folk?
The Devil's Got a Hold on Me by Gillian Welsh. We do a version of that song.
Okay.
We do this old folk song called The Cuckoo. We do a New Zealand one called Farewell to the Gold. We do an accordion rap song that I wrote myself, which is big in Prague, but not that many people in New Zealand have heard it.
Okay. In Prague, did you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I lived there for 9 years. Yeah.
Right. You've I saw the little bit of info here that you gave the Old School. You have a very varied career in music. The bit that stood out for me the most was the fact that you were in 13 bands at one time in Auckland.
I was, yeah.
How is that even possible?
Some of those bands, just did the odd corporate gig.
Yeah.
And basically, trying to survive as a musician in New Zealand, especially in Auckland, you just never say no to a gig.
Right.
I was in 13 bands. I was in a couple of French ones, two Brazilian ones, a couple of Irish ones, country rock band, played a lot of soul and funk, played in Hardy Jar, actually.
Yeah.
But we didn't do that many gigs. I was with them for about 6 months, and I played with famous people. I played with Rui Aprahama, the guy who wrote What's the Time, Mr. Wolf.
Yeah, yeah.
I was his musical director for 5 years, so we did all the Waiata Māori stuff, so like all Bob Marley and Te Reo, as well as Rui's own pop songs and stuff like that. So, yes, multiple bands, and, I got a little bit frayed sort of running from one to the other, so I created a band called Beyond Ensemble, and we tried to cover as many of those bases as possible in one band.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a successful thing for quite a while. Yeah.
So this is, that's a while ago that it was a struggle making a musician. I don't imagine it. In fact, I know it's got harder, hasn't it? Well, I think it's got harder anyway in recent times.
I'm sort of finding out at the moment because I was, like I said, I was based in Prague for 9 years, and I made a really good living for myself over there. It was actually really easy. And that was just because I was filling this little niche. I was like the only guy in Prague playing Irish music. So I had like 2 gigs a day, 7 days a week if I could sing that much.
Yeah.
And plenty of work, got paid really well, looked after really well. So I saved 80% of what I earned over there. But I decided to move back to New Zealand. I was here during the COVID lockdown. I came back to care for my mum who was sick, and then I stayed on. And last year I went back to Prague and I put all my stuff on the boat back to New Zealand. So I've moved to just out of Motueka.
Yep.
And trying to make a go of it. And so I've started a few projects. Songwear is one of them. And we'll see how we get on. I'm hopeful I can make it work. I'm pretty good at hustling.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Hustling for gigs, and I'm playing a bit of accordion on people's albums and stuff like this, and picking up work here and there, doing other things, and I tour quite a lot. So yeah.
It's always the big question, like just about every musician I interview is have you been able to quit the day job? It's the perennial question.
Yeah, well, I quit the day job in the year 2000.
Right.
I'd actually, my first paid gigs were with my dad. I was 12, and we had a residency at the, it's not there anymore now, the Beachcomber Hotel in the Bay of Islands. I'm from Kaikohe. We used to play there every weekend, and that was really good money for a 12-year-old, but
yeah.
I still get to pay the same amount of money.
Oh.
And I tried to become a responsible grown-up in my 20s, and I went from ANZ for almost 10 years, and then I saw the light and realized I'd become institutionalized and engineered my own redundancy, and I've only played music since then.
I like your use of the word institutionalized, normally applied to prisoners, but maybe that's how it felt.
Oh, no, totally. Like, yeah, you know, the whole frog in the water and the water slowly heating up and you don't notice.
Yeah.
The first year I went to the bank, I handed in my resignation when they wouldn't let me have Christmas off. And then I went to Ireland like 8 years later. I enrolled my holidays. I had this big trip to Ireland, and while I was there, I was like, what happened to me? I'd be way too scared to hand in my resignation now because my redundancy is worth so much and all this sort of stuff. Get out of here.
So it sucks you in. So you've got now, you're a duo, so can you tell us about Joe Taylor, who's your music partner here?
Yeah, Joe is awesome. She comes from a musical family. She's a great singer. She introduced me to Gillian Welsh, actually, way back, like 20 years ago. She was a bass player in the Johnnies, if you ever heard of them.
Yeah, all definitely heard of them.
All Girls,
yeah.
All Johnny Cash.
Yep.
And she had a band called Brazen. And she was also in another one called Alfalfa Mayo. And, yeah, she's had many musical guises over the years. And we used to have a band in Auckland way back, say, 20-odd years ago when we were all living there. And we, Joe and I used to run sessions at the Bog Irish pub in Parnell, like every Monday night. We did that for ages, and that we kind of sort of cut our teeth there, along with John O'Loney, who was playing fiddle with us. And pipes and stuff, and yeah.
So and she, so you've been playing with her for a long time then, off and on.
Yeah, well, there was a big gap while I was living in Prague. So actually, we sort of rekindled our musical relationship just only about a year ago, really, when I decided, okay, I'm gonna move back to New Zealand, and I'm living in Tasman now. And Joe's in Nelson, so right. We're like, let's get together and do some stuff. So we're actually really, it's a brand new thing for us, but yeah, we've played together in the past. But there's been a lot of water under the bridge since then. Now we're sort of catching up with each other's tunes. She's like, oh, I've learned this and I've always wanted to do this, but I never found the right person to do it with and this sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're at the moment. We're exploring what we can create together.
Are you interested in like producing producing music as opposed to playing live?
I like playing music in all sorts of different sort of forms. So I've worked with a storyteller from Waikiki for years, and we made a whole lot of albums for children where I kind of play soundtracks for his stories.
Yeah,
and I've produced a couple of my own albums and one or two EPs and things for friends. I prefer to be at the creative end of the process as opposed to the production end.
Yeah.
Like, I've got those skills, but I don't have the patience I don't have the patience to be fussy enough to, like, try and make the perfect track.
Yeah.
I'd much rather be improvising and not knowing what I'm meant to be playing than, you know, trying to get something perfect.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I do that because I kind of have to, and I can't afford always to,
yeah,
you know, hire someone to do that stuff for me. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, we all know that things have changed over the last two decades in terms of what you get out when you produce some music. It's very, it's much harder now to make any money out of it.
Yeah, I mean, someone asked me the other day, like, if I could wave a magic wand and I had one wish, what would it be? And that wish would be to eliminate all recorded music.
Oh, okay.
Then the only way to get it would be to have someone play it for you. And I actually love that idea. I think that's a really cool idea. I'd be so busy. I'd be very happy if nothing ever got recorded.
There is a lot of recorded music, but by the same token, there seems to be a bigger focus on live music now as well.
Well, I think that's a result of the fact of everything being free online.
Yeah. Oh, you've just lost your voice there. Come back.
Yeah.
I got you. Yep.
Yeah, it's like, because everything's free, it makes the live thing more valuable, and you're also going to get something that's just a one-off.
Yeah.
It's, you know, unless you're playing to a whole bunch of backing tracks, which I just detest, you're actually going to get a live experience, a one-up experience, you know, the energy and all of that sort of stuff is going to be unique to that occasion. So,
yeah,
I think people are getting hip to that, and it's becoming more of a thing. I've got this project down in Motueka called Somasonic, where we improvise for like 2 hours for the ecstatic conscious dance community.
Yep.
So it's kind of like a co-creative thing. If they want to, you know, the dance can dictate where the music goes and vice versa, and no one knows what's going to happen. And those sorts of musical experiences are just awesome. I'm like totally in my happy space when I'm doing that kind of thing.
Back before I had a family and everything, I was flatting with a couple of guys who were musicians, and sometimes they would just jam at home.
Yeah.
And that, I used to go and watch all their gigs, but it was when they were jamming at home that I loved the most, because they were just into the music.
Totally. I mean, when there's an audience there, or they've paid money and they're expecting something and all this sort of stuff, there's this sort of expectation that, you know, they're going to get value for money or something like this, and all those things are just a psychological head fuck, really, which is, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on the radio, but they get in the way of what's possible, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can play in front of people the same way you'd play in your bedroom, then you're winning. You know, I try to get to that place.
Yeah.
When I play, I try to break down the barrier between the audience and and us. I don't like that sort of separation.
Is that involved kind of befriending the audience?
Yeah, totally. Talking to them.
Yeah.
Maybe doing a song that they can join in on, or something like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole world, I think that breaking down of that barrier exists. I mean, you probably don't spend that much time looking at online videos and things like that, but that sense of distance that celebrity has is gone from a lot of that, and people are a lot more comfortable in a different relationship now.
Yeah, I think it's changing. I think the young generation are like onto it.
Yeah,
in that regard. But this whole worship of celebrity is just gets in the way of it. You know, it's a little bit like, oh well, you need to go. I'm going to get a little bit spiritual now. But like, you know, you had to go to church and get your, you know, get your religion from your priest or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like that. We've had the same attitude to celebrity. You know, we need to go and get our music from the musician, or, you know. And once upon a time, everybody was creating something. Everybody played something before TV and all of this sort of stuff. And so I like the idea of, I like trying to foster this idea that everybody's in it doing it together.
Yeah,
and it's not an us and them kind of thing. I've actually I've just scored a gig, a residency at Muscle Inn. I'm going to be doing sing-alongs around the piano every Monday night from the end of April, once a week.
Where is the Muscle Inn?
The Muscle Inn's in Golden Bay.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and the whole idea is that everyone can come bring a song or an instrument and join in with me, and it's not going to be plugged in or anything. It's just going to be a social gathering where we all create music together. I think that kind of thing's just super important just for community and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I think, like I talked before about my flatmates and their jamming and how I enjoyed it, but I still think that they were enjoying it more because they were the ones that were in it, and that's something that us non-musicians, we probably aren't aware of what we're missing out on there. Do you think, would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, to some degree, but I would say that everybody is a musician. I think that humans are inherently musicians. You know, musical, you can tap your feet, joining in.
Yeah.
You can, you know, there are ways to join them percussively. You know, maybe you don't feel like you can sing, but you can always hit something or, you know, find some way to be involved. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is, you describe music as something you do to feel good, or that your audience does with you to feel good. Like, is that a huge part of it?
Sure. Well, yeah, I guess I've medicated myself with music ever since I was little.
Yeah.
Like, there was a piano in our house when I was growing up. My dad was a musician, so there was, you know, band practices in the home and stuff. And I was the youngest by some years. And so my parents would just chill with me and just let me do what I want. So I used to just sit at the piano and make things up. and nobody stopped me.
Yeah.
And I somehow found that I could, you know, change my state through that. I could make myself feel better or happier or less lonely or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I don't know that I was that conscious of what was going on, but yeah, somehow music was nourishing. Yeah.
That's something I've been thinking about personally lately, just because there's so many reasons to be angry at the moment out there.
Yeah.
And so many different places you can go to, but yeah, if you want to be angry and express that anger, and it's kind of like we need some of these other things as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, music's good for that. For you know, music can be cathartic, so you can totally use it to get stuff out of yourself. But then you can also use it to align yourself to something better, you know, or to, you know, channel something that's maybe a little bit higher than just getting rid of your crap. But you know, all levels are valid, and in the Somersonic stuff, we sort of try and do that. We have a, you know, part of the process is maybe it's a bit more of a cathartic end of the spectrum, and then the middle bit is like maybe more sort of tuning into the, you know, to the planet or the natural world or something like this, and then the last level hopefully maybe is a bit transcendent, and you don't really know what's happening, but it just goes where it goes, and hopefully causes something of value.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just looking at the description of again, and it says you're going to play at something called Hamster Fest in 2023. What the heck is Hamster Fest?
Hamster Fest is the Hamilton Folk Festival.
Oh.
That's what it's called now. I don't know how it got that name. but yeah, but it's not actually in Hamilton. It's at the racecourse in Pyrrhoa. But maybe, I don't know. Yeah, but it's the Hamilton Folk Festival. That's what it is, yeah.
Okay, Hamster Fest. I guess that makes sense. We've got some musicians out here in Raglan that'll probably be playing at that, I imagine, as well. Wilkie Mack. So, yeah. So, folks, we're talking to Craig Denham, who's one half of the duo Song. We're going to be performing at the Old School Thursday night, which is the new Friday because it's Easter. And doors open at 7. You guys, is there a support act or is it just you guys?
Just us.
Just you guys. And are we paying on the door? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, paying on the door.
Okay.
And there's no FOS machine. Cash is king, people.
Bring cash. That's why it's $20, because it's easy with $20. Don't have to give change.
Totally.
Yeah, and I know that they also have, they do sell drinks there, and they may even have some food. I'm not sure. I can't talk on their behalf, but sometimes they do as well. So, yeah.
Right.
Should be a nice evening. It'd be really enjoyable talking to you, Craig. Interesting chat.
Yeah, you too.
And I hope you guys have a good show when you're here on Thursday.